We come today to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Let's hear the Lord's word. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he openeth, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Always a joy to bring the message of the Lord's Word, and I trust that as we seek comfort in these times, in the trauma of this coronavirus that has stalked our land and brought this nation to its knees, I pray that God will have a right word even at this time for your heart. There is the way of grace. There is the way of God's mercy. And even here in Revelation 17, where we have the warnings of the work of Satan, the warnings of the devil that is seeking to destroy, that there is a message of life and hope for the child of God. There is the way back to God, and there is the way of peace with God. And I hope that you will discover that as we spend this time in the Lord's Word right here today. Thank you for joining with us. Stay with us right through the program today. You'll get all the announcements at the close. As you may know, I have a habit of marking my Bible. Well, I've run out of space and I've run out of colors as I have tried to mark up this 17th chapter of Revelation. This is one of those chapters that is full of details, little bits of information that build out the greater picture. And tonight, of course, the theme is Mystery Babylon. Now, to us as Bible readers, it's not a mystery at all. It would be a mystery if we didn't have the Bible. It would be a mystery if we close the Bible and ignore what God has said. But to those who take this as God's word and use this as an understanding of what God is doing in the world, we have really an exposition and an explanation of this Babylon, this system that is Antichrist and that is set up to oppose and to rebel against the Lord. Now, as I said, this would be inexplicable if we had no Bible. Now, you'll notice in chapter 1 that it really is a statement of God's judgment of the great whore. Now, that's Babylon. That's the woman. These are synonymous terms. And we learn here she is a fallen woman. Now, men of the world, of course, have no thought nor inkling of the forces that are at work to manipulate and to deceive, to follow the world. Just dangle a dollar sign in front of most people and they run after the almighty dollar. For many others, dangle an idol and they run after that idol, and they do so very blindly, and they do it so loyally. And so this is the power of Mystery Babylon. She is able to gather an amazing following. They follow the wonder of it, the mystery of it, and they do it blindly. But tonight we have the Bible, and that makes all the difference. And that's going to keep you from following this wicked system. That's going to keep you from giving your heart, mind, and your life to being a devotee and a follower of this way of ungodly worship. Now, notice that Babylon is called that great city. Go down to verse 18, the very closing verse. And it talks about the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Way back in the 4th century, a man called Augustine wrote a book on the two cities. It is said that it took him 10 years to compile that book. And it really is an exposition of the two systems that are in the world. Babylon, the ungodly, deceptive, leader of the blind to serve Satan. That's Babylon. The other, of course, is Jerusalem. That's the true city. And in this world, you are a member of either one or the other. You are a member of the true Jerusalem, or you are a member of that Mystery Babylon. Now, I'm indebted to the following summary. And when I find something that is well defined and laid out, I don't believe in trying to rehash it and put it in my own words and only spoil it. So I want to share with you what is this summary of what is going on here in this chapter
And what are these two cities, the Jerusalem versus the Babylon? This summary simply says this: Revelation is a series of visions, each of which portrays the conflict between the evil trinity, the dragon, the beast from the sea, and the beast from the land, against the Holy Trinity of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of these unequal but opposing trinities is building a city. The evil trinity is building the city of Babylon, while the Holy Trinity is building the city of Jerusalem. Satan is seducing mankind through the great harlot, and God is calling sinners to himself to make a holy bride. Chapter 17 and 18 tell us how the city of Babylon will be defeated, while Christ and his new Jerusalem shall reign victorious. Now, if you have got a hold of that, you have a mental picture of the drama that is going on, not only here in Revelation, but in our present world. These two cities, and Satan claims to be the god of this world. He wants to be master. He is, of course, opposed to God and all his goodness and grace. And he is gathering his followers, and he's gathering to build his city out of this world. But we learn here in Revelation 17 that it's going to crash. It's going to fall. It is headed for defeat. And so we are all the more loyal and interested in being members of that true city, the New Jerusalem. Now, if you look at chapter 17, verse 5, you will see how this mystery Babylon is referred to. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. And so this is the vast array of the forces of Babylon. Then in chapter 18 and verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Now, chapters 17 through to 19 are really a continuation of the seven vials. We looked in chapter 16, and you have all of those seven bowls of wrath that are poured out. Number 7 is chapter 16, verse 17. And if you go back to chapter 16, 17, you will see that the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, It is done. And then you'll see that the nations fall, and Babylon is mentioned in verse 19. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God. Now, you could close the book at that point and still know the end of the story. You would still be well warned. Don't dare tangle with Babylon. It's going to fall. But what we have in chapters 17, 18, and 19, some have described as illustrations. You know how sometimes an author will compile his book, and at the end he will put an addendum, attachments, explanatory notes to expand upon the content already covered. So what you're getting in chapter 17, 18, 19 is not really all new information. It's just the details of the great statement of Babylon falling. And so that's what we get into here tonight. In chapter 17, 1 says, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. And so this is a revelation. It is an insight to the horrific end of that vile system that is rebellious to God and uses many deceits and many methods to gather a following away from Christ and to drag them down to perdition. Now, when we come into chapter 17, and the first thing we really have is a description of Babylon, the mystery city of the world. And there are many details that are given, and that's why I'm saying my poor Bible is suffering. I've marked it up and colored it up, and sometimes I can hardly read my own writing, and sometimes I've even blurred the text with so much added in just little things that I want to try and underline and highlight and so on. So this is chalk filled with details, but there is a description here, and a very vivid, detailed description of the nature of this system. And I think that's a good word to use, a system. It's not just a literal city. It is a system. It is not just one king, one earthly figure. It is a system, and we're going to call that system the world, that is in opposition to God. Now, there are many parts and many players in the system, and they give their devotion, they give their loyalty to this woman, to this city. So Babylon here, firstly, is described as a fallen woman. Now, she is referred to as a whore. It's not a very nice word. It's a horrible word. But then this system is horrible in the sight of God. Now, this woman was never married. She certainly was never a part of Christ, nor married to him. There is a separate word in the New Testament for married, but the only word that's used here is porne, from which we would get pornography. It is a vile, it is a dark, depraved description of this woman. She is a harlot, a prostitute. She has sold herself and is seeking to seduce and destroy the souls of men. And all of this is sinful and odious to God. And this is how God sees this Babylonian system on the world. And she is therefore ripe for judgment. So is the world. The love of God is not in her. And she is certainly not washed in the Savior's blood. She is at war with the Lamb. You'll find that away down in the verses later, verse 14. Thee shall make war with the Lamb. Let's stick with the early verses and the description that we are getting right here. So she is described as a fallen woman. That would never be my choice of language. That would never be the language you would want to use if this was a pretty, a restorable situation. But this is a woman of abandon. A woman who has sold herself to every iniquity for either her pleasure or to seduce others. And that's the system of this mystery Babylon, this system that is against God and under God's judgment. Now, also we see in verse 1 that she is a worldly woman. It tells us that she sitteth upon many waters. Now, chapter 17, as I say, is a book of illustrations. It's also a glossary. There are many terms and references here that help us throughout the whole book. This is a very helpful chapter to give understanding of symbols. Waters. When it talks about many waters, what does that refer to? Well, let's go down to verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And verse 1 had just said that this woman sitteth upon many waters. She is riding upon and in full fellowship and control of multitudes of people. So this is a vast worldwide system. As we go back to verse 15, peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And so there is a universal influence. This Babylon, this woman, she is influencing the nations of the world. And so therefore the world is a proper term as we think of it demographically, as we think of the multitudes of people that are brought in. It's not just Rome and Italians. It's not just one little people group or one culture. It is the vast array of nations, cultures, and languages of the world that are brought into this system. And of course, we know tonight that there are sinners who are against God in all nations and all peoples, who give their allegiance to the forces of darkness, to the beast. Whether we live in the West, we face this power, this system, or if we live in the East, and I'm talking now about opposing cultures. In the West, we have a culture that is based on all kinds of gospel influence. In the East, it is of a more recent gospel influence, but more on various cults and religions that are contrary to God. But the spirit of this mystery Babylon envelops them all. Whether it's Russian or Chinese communists, or whether it is American capitalists in the New York Stock Exchange, whether it's the rich man who's counting his billions, or whether it's the poor man that might be on the streets, they can belong to this system, Babylon. These are sinful peoples who follow the deception of a wily woman who seduces and lures people to sin against God. Do you get the picture? Do you see the vastness of this? And the effects of this woman in verse 2, you will see how they are sold out to her, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And so her powers of seduction are very effective, and they take away all reason, all logic. And you have the wisest, the most intelligent, the most educated people who are involved and follow this system. Only the born-again Christian is awakened out of the sleep of sin to follow the Lamb. If you're a follower of the Lamb, you're in a totally different camp. If you are washed in the blood of Christ and you're His disciple, and you're with Him, you're on His side, then you are living contrary to this vast Babylonian system that envelops the world and has the spirit of the world. And so tonight, souls are either with the wicked kingdom of this world, which is Antichrist and anti-Christian, or you are with Christ and for Christ and worshiping the true Christ. Which are you? Every one of us has to decide. There's no neutral ground. There's no in-between. You cannot serve one and not and the other at the same time.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that you're following our series here in the latter part of the Book of Revelation. Now, let us realize that false religion and all that are against Christ are moved by Satan. The Bible teaches us of the very energetic activity of Satan at work. And behind every idol is a devil. Behind every false religion is the work of Satan. And as we learned here in this message, even the most intelligent in this world will be lured and deceived by that satanic system. The only answer is to be a follower of the Lamb. And of course, throughout the Bible, the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And here in this book of Revelation, we have the scene of the Lamb with his people being worshipped day and night. Now, you are either one who is following the program of Satan, or you are a follower of the Lamb. This really is a matter of your allegiance. And I beseech you today to give your heart and give your allegiance to the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. And then you'll be saved. Then you will have a glorious future in eternity. And so do not follow this world and all its evil systems and all its programs that are atheistic, agnostic, and are mocking the truth of God and his word, but rather give your heart to the Savior. And if I can be of any personal help, I am here for you. I have a booklet called A New Beginning, and I would be very happy to send this to you, or you can pick it up at our church when we're having our regular services. And this book, A New Beginning, will help you to know who is the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he accomplish in his life, death, and resurrection, how you may know him personally, and how you may call upon him to be your Savior. And of course, that's my goal and object. Every message on these radio programs is to point you, as I point every hearer, to the cross, to the wounds of Jesus, to be washed in his precious blood, that you might be a follower of the Lamb.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.